Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And yes, man, I'm telling you, it's Freedom Friday, and we have some things for you today. And we're going to be free. We're going to be free, man, because we're talking about any and everything today. Hey, if you got something you want to talk about, hey, just give us a call, man. Let us know what's on your mind. You hear me? I know y'all hear me. 347-838-8622 is the number to dial in. Press 1, man, and hey, you here live with me, and we can hear what's on your mind, you know. That's just the way it is. And y'all can call me at, let's see, y'all can send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Hey, join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word, and you're in the chat room where we always have a very interesting conversation. That's right. So we doing the thing today, man. I'm telling you, we doing the thing. You hear me? You hear me? All right, on the show today, man, y'all know it's the end of the week, man, and we've talked about so much this past week. However, wouldn't you know, the day I take off, there's some big news going on, you know what I mean? So we talking Fort Hood shooting and the IED hoax that went on. We talking MH370 investigation. We talking, hopefully we're going to talk a little bit about the citizen constitution that everybody's up in arms about. And the biggest thing, man, we're going to talk about Russia telling the United States to chill out, go practice yoga. How the hell they going to tell us to go and practice some yoga? But we're going to talk about that also. And then, of course, we got Afghanistan on the table also. So those are just some of the few topics we will attempt to get discussed today. And, man, we're going to try and do our damnedest, and we are. And, you know, it's Friday, man. We really to have us a good time. Hey, and I'm just kicking it, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to say hey to Lady T out there on the line. Lady T, you the bomb. And, of course, we got 111 out there, too. Hey. And we doing the damn thing today, man. I'm telling you, we rocking and rolling. We marching and we doing everything y'all want us to do today because it's Friday, the end of the week. The end of the week is what? The end of the week. For some of y'all, I'm sorry, you have to work tomorrow. Okay. My bad. But for those who today is the last day of the week, man, I know you just as happy as you want to be because I know I'm happy because it's the end of the week for me. And I get to take a couple of days off. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Do you understand what you hear me saying? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I hope you do because I understand what's coming out of my mouth and I'm telling you like it is. Hey, man, I'm telling you. It's chill. All right. Well, like I said before, man, we talking about the Fort Hood shooting, and man, I Let me tell y'all something. I know some things the major media don't. I know y'all trying to say, well, how he know what the media don't know? Because I'm only, 9 miles away from where it happens at, and I know how to get on and get to places the media can't access. So if y'all want to know what's really going on Fort Hood these last couple of days, yeah, I say y'all need to listen a little. Y'all need to listen to what I'm about to tell you in a little while, because y'all gonna be like, "Oh, okay, I think I got that understanding." That's right, Mr. Talk has the scoop, man. Woo! But are y'all ready for it? That's the word. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? All right. Anyway, now that I have said all that great stuff, you know, and while we wait for everybody to get in the chat room, we got a Rewind Deep H2O in the house. We got Divine Design. We got Guest 1054 in the house. Welcome to the show, y'all. I hope y'all having fun. Hope y'all ready to get on, get it on, get it on, get it on. Because you know what, Mr. Talk ready today. I'm feeling special, and I'm ready to let y'all know what's really happening around here. You know what I mean? So we about to do our thing, man, and I hope y'all ready, because we are having us a ball today. It's Friday, man. It is. It's Friday, and Friday is always a good thing. You know what I mean? Friday is always a good thing. Now, this is what I want to say, y'all. This is what I want to say. You know, I do want to send my condolences out to the families and of the Fort Hood shooting. I want to send my condolences out to them. You know, for those that lost your loved ones, and for those that were injured also. You know, yes, it was another tragedy on Fort Hood, and you know, people get hurt. They do. People get hurt, and just nothing can be done. Here we go, y'all. There's nothing that can be done. You know what I mean? Nothing. Ooh, I don't know. Can y'all hear me? If you can hear me, let me know you can hear me, okay? Because I got some crazy stuff going on around here right about now, and it's really driving me kind of cuckoo. So if y'all can hear me, let me know you can hear me. Send me something in the chat room, and if you hear me and you know how to text me, send me a text saying you can hear me right now, because I got some feedback going on there through my microphone. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to figure it out here in a minute. You know, maybe I'm not supposed to be saying some things I'm going to say, but you know what? We can fight right on through it, and we're going to keep fighting right on through it. You know why? You know why? Because we're here to tell you what's really going on. That's right. That's right. And if you don't like what's really going on, well, get the hell over it, because that's what you're going to learn here on the show today, what's really going on. Okay. All right. I'm going to quit tripping. I'm going to quit tripping. Okay. But anyway, so that's what's going on, man. We're going to get into this Fort Hood shooting thing, and then we're going to try to discuss Russia telling everybody, you know, telling the United States to chill out, you know, go practice some yoga. Really. My God, now, I think those are fighting words. Those are fighting words for sure, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's see, what else we're going to try to talk about? We're going to try and talk about the plane investigation. We're going to talk about a little bit about that. And if we have time, you know, we're going to get to the citizen constitution. Yeah, that was a big topic the other day. And if we have time, we're going to touch on that a little bit. And of course, we're going to talk about Afghanistan also, because some things going on over there that we know, that you, the listener, need to know about. You know, because I already figured out what was going to happen, and I knew it was going to happen. But the common Joe has no idea what's going on. All right? So, I'm just letting you know what's really happening, all right? All right, now, I have gone ahead and talked enough right now. And, you know, before I go on and do the music, there's something I want to put out here, the rules of the day, okay? The rules of the day, let's have fun, all right? Let's have fun, but no personal attacks, no personal attacks, okay? None of that. Let's also, you know, behave ourselves accordingly as adults, because we are adults on this show. Of course, things are going to be said. Yes, things are going to be said. You know, if you're sensitive to them, well, you're just sensitive to them. I'm not apologizing for them being said on my show. I'm not, because some things has to be said in the way they are said. Okay? But, of course, we're not, you know, getting overactive with the profanity and the name calling and all that, because everybody know who tunes into this show. That's not what we do. That's not what we're about. Okay? I'm just saying. But let's talk as adults. Let's have some fun. Let's limit the 20-minute concept and, you know, dissertations. You know, I do understand. I do understand there are those out there that, you know, in order for them to express themselves, you know, they take longer than others. That's fine, as long as it's relevant to what we're talking about. Now, once you start going off into outer space, you know, up there, the 2-3 trillion years away from light and all that, then, no, we're going to have to regain a little bit, okay? Because we don't need all that. You put me to sleep. And I know if you start putting me to sleep, you're going to put my guests to sleep, and we can't have my guests going to sleep, because I really treasure and love my guests that listen to this show. I do, okay? So, with all that being said, those are the rules for the day, and those rules will be carried out accordingly. Or I will deal with you. That's easy. That's easy. I can do that. I can do that. All right. Enough of that, man. It's time for your music, man. It's time for us to get it on and get popping. It's Friday. You know, some of y'all going to want to go out to the club tonight. Some of y'all want to go to your little jazz eateries. And some of y'all just want to sit home, turn the oldies on, and rock and roll. Well, you know what? I'm loving all that, man. I am. I'm loving all that. So what I'm about to do right now is do some things, man. We're going to throw some music on right here, and hopefully it'll get everybody to move it. You know, I hope some of y'all remember some of these songs right here. If not, oh, well, you okay. We still going to rock and roll because that's what I felt like doing, and that's the way I was feeling. You know, you got me. You got me. I know you got me. You heard me. All right. You got to go. Got to go. You're going to learn today. All right, y'all. Without further ado, here it is, your Friday music mix. Redneck.
Around here, don't listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Cephas threw a jukebox needle at the honky-tonk where they boot stomp all night. What?
Right.
Yeah, and walk to call work, digging in the dirt. Gotta get it in the ground before the rain come down, to get paid, to get the girl in your four-wheel drive.
Your boy can't survive.
Yeah, the boys around here drinking that ice-cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no shit. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco spit. Aw, heck. Well, the boys round here, they're keeping it country. Ain't a damn one know how to do the Dougie. No, I'm not in Kentucky, but these girls round here, yep, they still love me. Yeah, the girls round here, they all deserve
back and spin.
Got the work for the fame.
I'm fresh.
All right, y'all, man. That was your Friday music mix, man. I'm telling you. I'm still bobbing my head. Man, I'm telling you, boy, if that didn't get you to moving a little bit, just a little bit, man, I don't know about y'all. Some of y'all may be out there the Walking Dead, you know, baby zombies. Y'all may be being a part of the apocalypse and don't even know it. You're dead walking individuals out there. Wake up! Get your mind together. That's right, get your mind together. Because some of y'all got a mind out there that needs a little work. But anyway, let me tell you who was involved in your Friday mix, okay? You had Blake Shelton, the boys around here, drinking that ice cold beer. Oh, Lord have mercy. Chew the back of beard. Yes, sir. I know a little bit about that. And see, then we got Drum Rhyme Cadence. The Drumline soundtrack. Man, I'm telling you, that's a bomb soundtrack. Y'all need to get that. Then again, we got Little Troy, you know, Shot Callers and Ballers. Yes, sir. And then, of course, we got Little Boosie out there with Zoom, 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 Zoom. Everybody like Zoom, 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 Zoom. Do you hear me go like Zoom, Zoom, Zoom? Y'all see how that can rock and roll with you a little bit, man. I'm telling you, boy, I'm telling you, y'all just don't know what's going on around here. I'm feeling pretty good today, and today is the day that we're going to get it on. All right, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And if you want to be a part of the show today, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Or join me on my Facebook page. Send me a comment there, man. I get it. That's for sure. And just go to ericletalk@facebook.com. And those are all the ways you can be a part of the show today, man. Or any other time you want to send me something, those are all the ways you get in contact with me. And trust you me, I will get back with you. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Now, at this time of the show, you know, usually we go ahead and throw the quote of the day out there, right? Well, y'all guess what? I don't have a quote of the day today. So what I'm looking for is somebody give me the quote of the day. Give me something that's going to awaken everybody, not just yourself. You know, give us something encouraging, something that's going to let us understand that we belong. You know what I mean? And it's all good, man. You know, y'all want me to play some more music. I play some more music to somebody. Give me something. And I don't have a problem with that because it's Friday. It's Freedom Friday. It's Freedom Friday. And Freedom Friday is what? Free. So we do what we want to do anytime we want to do it. Nobody can stop us from doing what we do because we are freedom. Y'all like that little pause right there? I know some of y'all thought your sound went out. No, it didn't go out. I was just messing. All right. Anyway, so until somebody throw me a quote, you know, we're going to go ahead and carry on. Okay. I got a quote, y'all. It says, "Can't be a legacy without a legend. You can't have a legend if you do teach what you know." Okay, I don't know. I think there's a little, That sounds kind of, Can't be a legend without a legend. You can't have a legend if you don't teach what you know. All right. I got that. Okay, now that's a pretty good one there. Okay. Can't be a legacy without a legend. You can't have a legend if you don't teach what you know. And you know, that goes back to teach one, reach one, right? Reach one, teach one, teach one, reach one. Teach one, reach one. That's right. That's backwards. I'm sorry. My bad. You know, I'm just saying what this was written on now, you know. People saying that was backwards and I read it wrong and don't make the dog come out. Don't make the dog come out. Okay, anyway. You can't be a legend without a legacy. And you can't have a legacy if you don't teach what you know. All right. Now, that makes a whole lot of more sense there. Okay. You know, I can't even argue with that. What y'all think about that quote right there? You can't be a legend without a legacy. And you can't have a legacy if you don't teach what you know. Okay, very good. Very, very, very good. Yeah, buddy. All right, let's see. That was one. Here's another one. Democracy means that anyone can grow up to be president, and anyone who doesn't grow up can be vice president. Now, you know what? That's funny. You know what, man, I'm telling you, y'all are funny today. Yes, goodness, y'all are funny today. That was a heck of a quote right there. Oh, my goodness, man, I'm telling you, y'all the bomb, man, y'all the bomb. All right, let's see. It's time for them shout-outs, man. Let's see who I got in my chat room. Let's see, I got Laura Everness. Hi. You know, I see him. I see him. I got to say hey to him. All right. And then I have, Dark Star Internet Radio. Welcome to the show. And then we got 8 Deep H2O in the house. Divine Design. Then we got guests 1084. Guest 1087. Then, of course, we got Open Mic in the house. And, of course, we got my favorite fan. You sure are crazy. So we got everybody in the house, man. I'm telling you, I got my all-time favorite fan. You sure are crazy in the house, because no matter what I say, you sure are crazy. Gonna say I am not telling y'all what's really going on. Woo! Y'all know Ric Flair? Ain't that what Ric Flair used to do back in the day? Woo! I know, right? Okay. Let me get off Ric Flair, because a lot of y'all don't even know who Ric Flair is, but it's okay. The wrestling folk, y'all know who he is. All right, man, let's get serious for a hot minute, okay? Let's talk about the Fort Hood shooting. You know, in 2009, there was another shooting, you know, where Major Hassan, you know, a psychiatrist went, you know, jihadist on us and decided he wanted to shoot a whole lot of people up. Well, you know, of course, we know he's got the death penalty, which really doesn't mean anything, because, you know, they can sit on for, 30, 40 years on death row. I mean, really, like, he's really going to suffer here. But we got a little Army private. An Army private that decided he was going to shoot up some places. Shoot up some places. All right. Now, let me break it down to those that's listening that have been in the military with me and that are aware of the way Fort Hood is set up. You know, because when it first started out, the media was reporting that it was done at the WTU building, which is where all the wounded soldiers go to be, processed out of the military. Okay, well, here it is. That's not where the shooting occurred, okay? All right, now, that's not where it occurred. The shooting occurred. Now, if you have maps, where you can pull up maps, I'm going to tell you the streets you look for on Fort Hood will show you the buildings where this thing happened at, okay? 72nd Street and Tank Destroyer. 72nd and Supply Avenue. Now, that block right there, that block between those two parking lots on both sides is where the shooting took place. Okay? I'm just telling you. Now, let me clear up some of these people that will say, you don't know what. Let me tell you something. I spent over 15 years on Fort Hood. And the where the 49th Trans Battalion is right now, that used to be my battalion, I'm building. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know exactly where it is because I've been looking. Okay? So I'm going to tell you once again. I have been there. It's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what I have seen with my own eyes. Okay? As far as this morning, for those that want to shoot holes in it, don't do it. Okay? All right. Anyway, I'm going to write down, I'm going to give it to you again. 72nd Street and Tank Destroyer. 72nd Street and Supply Avenue. All right. Those are the streets where this took place at, okay, in this little squared area. All right. All around that whole square area, it takes you 8 minutes. 8 minutes. Okay, if you're driving the whole square area, and it's only 2.26 miles apart. Now, from what we're being told, is the shooter went into one of these buildings, started firing, got in his car, still firing, and drove to one of the other building, went inside, started firing, came out, and that's when he was met by MP, a female MP. Now, I'm looking at this. I'm thinking. So, here's the first thing. Which building did he go into first? You know, now they, you know, original point said he first went into the first Med Brigade building, which is, for the civilians out there that have no idea how military work, okay? Both of these buildings were what we would call administration buildings, okay? This is where everything administratively happens, okay? I'm just going to explain it for you civilians. That's how it is. This is where the inner workings happen at, okay? Now, Both buildings. Now, 49 Trans Battalion, and Trans stands for transportation. And this is a more of a movement building, which, in other words, they control where the vehicles go, how many vehicles going out, and stuff like that. All right? That's how they work. The first medical, all right, the first med building, okay, is a building, administrative building for medical people, medical individuals. Now, this is where it gets a little crazy, y'all. Now, the media is reporting that he was a truck driver. He was a truck driver. Okay. Well, as a truck driver, you know, I'm kind of, you know, because I was a truck driver in the military, okay? And I'm looking at this thing, and I don't think he really was a per se truck driver. I don't know what his MOS is. I'm still trying to get it. But, you know, he was, for all since he drove some trucks when he was in Iraq. Okay, and that's not unusual in Afghanistan, because what they did was they took MOSs that were non-essential MOSs, or to put it plain and clear, the jobs that really didn't have anything to do, they stuck them in the truck and told them, "Hill, you drive." Okay, so as far as the media is concerned, that says you're a truck driver, all right? But he really wasn't a truck driver per se. All right, now, I'm just going to go ahead and break it on down to you. All right, now, so we got a so-called truck driver. We got buildings that's 2 miles apart, but actually they're closer, more like half a mile apart. Because honestly, these two buildings, you could run from building to building. I mean, let's be honest with you. I mean, I've done it. That's how I know. You can run from building to building, and you know, you're there. Now, the media wants you to believe that this guy has driven all over posts, shooting, and he didn't do that. He drove within a square-blocked area at the most 2.2 miles. All right? And it wasn't that much. Now I know those gonna be there are those out there that would say, well, you know, he got in his car. Okay. When actually he could have ran across the street, did what he did, but I guess he got in his car because he thought it was more faster. Now here's another thing. He done went in this building, fired up some stuff. He comes out of this building, right? Here is my question. So you mean tell me you come out of this building, but yet you have time to get in your car. Now, if you have a weapon in one hand, are we saying that you automatically had your keys in your hand? Okay. Now, if you have your keys in the hand, are you left-handed or right-handed? One hand is the weapon in. So you got to open your door, get your keys out your pocket, start the vehicle, then go and drive 0.5 miles across the street, go walk in another building, shoot in there, walk back out the building into a parking lot where you're confronted by a military police person. You put your hands up. Then you go back down and grab your weapon. At this time, the military police person engages you. In other words, she takes her weapon out of her holster and she points her weapon at you. Then you take your weapon, put it to your head, and kills you, and fire around inside your head, and basically, you know, do yourself in. Is it me, or is there something not right with that scenario that was given? That's all I'm saying. Now, you know, I understand that, you know, here in this area, see, and they say she confronted him in a parking lot. Now, in this area, you have two huge parking lots. Okay, two huge parking lots. Now, my question is, if it takes 8 minutes, okay, give or take, they say, to drive around this whole square block, 8 minutes. That's because you got traffic lights, okay? But if you go directly from the First Med building to the 49 Trans Battalion building, 39,021, it's less than 2 minutes. As I said before, y'all, I'm not telling y'all nothing somebody told me. I'm telling you something I know personally, okay? Personally. Because I've been there, okay? I used to be there every day, so I know. And yet, they want us to believe that this soldier, because he was so-called being treated for mental illness, but he wasn't diagnosed with mental illness, okay? He went to Iraq. Yes, he did. But he didn't see any combat in Iraq. He didn't. You know, he came back here. He was having trouble sleeping. So they prescribed Ambien. Now, I've had Ambien prescribed to me also, because that's when you say you have trouble sleeping in the military, I'm going to tell you that's the first thing they're going to throw at you, Ambien. They are. Now, if this was late at night, or early in the morning time, I can say, well, maybe Ambien played a part in it. But I'm about to tell you, Ambien did not have anything to do with this action that this young man, what this young man did. Not at all. It didn't have anything to do with it. Okay? I hope y'all are following me here on this because, man, I'm telling you, I'm for the Now, the military also wants you to believe that this young man was unstable mentally. That's right. He was unstable mentally. But, however, how does someone unstable seek medical help? I don't think, I mean, you know, if it was just, you know what, I'm going to take that one back. Because you know what, I remember when I came back off my like 13th deployment, I went and saw a mental specialist. I did. I don't have no problem telling y'all that. And this young captain, female, told me there was nothing wrong with me. I was okay. And I can go ahead and go back to doing what I was going to do. Now, JC says, sometimes it does not take a person being in direct combat with enemy. It can also be due to what they saw with their own eyes. Okay. I can get with that, JC. I can get with that. I can. But I'm telling you, with what he did, the job he had, where he was, he didn't see much. Now, once again, you know, I'm going to tell you, this is not something I'm speculating on here, okay? This is something I know. All right? I know this. So, for those that think I'm speculating, I'm just, no. All right? Now, I can't believe, they also say he was upset because he was only given 24 hours leave to attend his mother's funeral. No, she died when she died in February from a heart attack. Now, I can actually understand you being upset about that because, number one, he's from Puerto Rico, so he probably had to fly back to Puerto Rico. And for a unit to only give you 24 hours, that's really raggedy. Okay? That's really being raggedy. I'm just telling y'all like it is. It is. You know, but you always can call back and get an extension, which he did, which was 2 days. Now, when you look at it that way, you know, it's really... So this young man, you know, he was 34, you know, went to bury his mother, then later on buried his grandfather, then had to come back. You know, now he hasn't been given any time to grieve. You know, he hasn't been given any time to, you know, just get a grip with what just happened in his family. He hasn't. You know, now, that can eat away at you. I'm going to tell you, because I know personally, it can eat away at you because you haven't had time to deal with it. But I'm just saying. And neighbors who talked to him that afternoon around lunchtime said he was fine. You know, he told them his day was going fine, and, you know, he'll talk to them when he get home. So what happened in between that time? Apparently, he went in to do a leave form, and he was told that he would have to come back the next day to complete his leave form. So that is the supposedly argument that happened during this time. Well, depends on what he wanted to go home for. on what he wanted to go on leave for, number one. You know, it does that mean that he did not have, see, here's the thing about this, y'all. It's a lot that you know, right now, you know, I have to go undercover and figure all this out, because I got to tell you, the military has put a gag on everybody on post that works on post and the soldiers on post. Nobody can talk about it, okay? But I'm not either or. You know, I can ride wherever I want to. So that's how I'm telling you what I know. Okay? I've seen this with my eyes. Okay? Just that simple. This young man, I think, he just snapped. There's no other explanation for it. He just snapped. You know, it, sometimes, especially when you're in a situation, sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with combat. Sometimes the personal things can trigger you quicker than anything you see in combat. And in this case, this young man had just lost his mother and his grandfather. Who to say he wasn't close to them? That could trigger it. And if I'm trying to get home to see him and you keep telling me, no, I need to come back tomorrow, you know, enough is enough. You know, if you stack this on top of give me 24 hours to go, you know, to go and bury my mother, then I call you back for an extension and you only give me 2 days, 48 hours, really? But my mother's funeral has to be put off a whole week. A whole week till I can get there because of this, before we can put barrier. We look at that wrong, y'all. Now the media is gonna want you to think that, you know, he bought this gun at this store called Guns Galore. Okay, let me explain to you about this store where he bought this weapon at. Everybody goes there. They have a shooting range in the back. Okay. There's nothing wrong with this store. Nothing. So get that out of your mind. Okay, just get that out of your mind. This is part of raising your hand, swearing in, Mr. Talk. And you're right, JC. You are absolutely right. You know, now the media also would want you to think that, oh, my, everybody is just upset and just mourning on Fort Hood, and nothing is normal. Well, let me explain something to you about that. Soldiers, we are taught, you know, for those that's sports fanatics, you know, they say pitchers who give up home runs, quarterbacks who throw interceptions, basketball players who get their shot blocked. What are they saying? What are they saying? They say you have to have a short memory. And that's what soldiers do. We have short memories. You sure are crazy. Mr. Talk, why are you identifying with him? Because I'm giving you an inside view. That's why I'm identifying with him. Because I've been there. Okay, I know some of the stuff he's going through. So back to hell up, crazy. Today is not today. All right, now. Anyway. It's interesting. It really is. Soldiers, we are taught. Okay, we are taught to have short memories. Okay, we do not have time. We don't have time to dwell on things that happened the day before. Okay, we don't. We do not have time to sit there and cry 20 to 48 hours later. Now, don't get me wrong. We may cry within the first 2 hours of what happened, but after that, it's over with. New day, let's get the job done. And I've been on post the last couple of days, and that's exactly what these soldiers are doing. They're going on about their lives, doing what they need to do to survive. You know, I was looking at one of the major media sites, I mean, news sites, and they were saying, well, this 20-year-old girl said, 21-year-old soldier says she's scared and she's upset, blah, 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 blah. Okay. That's fine. And I'm not saying there's not those that are afraid. But the majority of soldiers that have been through combat over and over and over again, this just happens. It happens. For the civilians on post that work on post for DID, and many of them are soldiers or former soldiers, they understand also. It happens. Now, I know there are those out there that's going to say, well, if someone, if they would have had their weapons allowed to carry weapons on post, maybe this would have been stopped. It's not so many people would have got killed or hurt. Well, my comment to that is hogwash. And I'm going to tell you why it's hogwash. Now, each unit has what we call the arms room. In the arms room, you have every weapon that is assigned to every soldier on post in that unit. Okay? I'm just telling you. Now, if that was the case, you on a military installation. Now, once you hear something going on, the commander, you know, he can say, open the arms room, arm everybody. For those that have live ammo, you know, but it's not allowed, live ammo is not allowed to be in your arms room. But some units may be on the range, come back from range, and may have it in there to turn in. But now, then you have a whole bunch of trigger-happy individuals, walking around with M16s looking for someone to put a round in. That just doesn't work, y'all. That's why you have military police. That's why you have the civilian police. But, of course, you know, eventually, is this going to be turned into why the soldier wasn't treated properly mentally? I'm just going to put it out there. That's what it's going to turn into. The other thing is going to turn into, why aren't soldiers allowed to be armed on post? But basically what everybody needs to understand is it happens. You cannot foretell when a soldier has had enough and he's just going to snap. You can't. You know, you have soldiers who've come back from Iraq, been at a party with their buddies, got in an argument, and killed each other. That's right. Right here on Fort Hood, Fort Bragg, you know, and the only reason why this is, I think, is really, really magnified right now because of what happened with Major Hassan in 2008, 2009, whichever years it was. But how many of you heard about the fake IED that was reported in the city of Killeen, which is the little town outside of Fort Hood? Did any of you hear about that? That's right. You know, but you didn't hear about the IED, did you? Because it turned out to be a fake, so it wasn't as sensationalized as this killing. So, and I'm giving you this perspective, so you will understand exactly what's happening, what the military is going to tell you, and what's really going on. Now, and you know, the military, when they first came on, said, well, he shot up the WTU and he drove to another place and shot up there. Well, let me tell you, he was nowhere near WTU. That's where the wounded soldiers go to, you know, be transitioned out and, you know, have a place to stay away from their units. Okay, he was nowhere near them. The buildings he went in and shot up was administrative buildings. Okay? They were administrative. Now, as far as the motor pool, I haven't found what motor pool he was dealing with yet. But I will find it out. And once I do some more investigation later this evening, I will find out. But I just thought I'd let you put these out there to you, this information out there to you, you know. Now, like I said, if you have a map, okay, just pull the map up, type in Fort Hood, and all you do is type in 72nd Street and Tank Destroyer, 77th Street and Support Avenue. And right there, that little square right there, that's where everything happened at. That's where everything happened at. That's all I'm saying, y'all. That's all I'm saying. Well, I see someone has their hand up, so let me go ahead and uh-oh. They had their hand up, then they went away. Oh, they back. All right, hold on. Let me answer this. Okay, they did it again. They did it again. We quit playing.
Hello.
All right. Yes, hello. Michael, how are you today? How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting tuned into what you're talking about. Like, wow. Well, you say this happened on Saturday, same time, man. Many mornings running down that road. My goodness. That happened right there, Mr. Talk?
Yeah, right there.
Wow. Man. So what happened?
Well, you know, it's still conjecture, but basically what the major belief is, he went to ask, I guess he wanted to fill out a leave form, and they told him to come back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And, now, here's the kicker. Even if that is actually what happened, you know, my question is, how many times have they told this soldier to come back? You know, how many times has he went up to try to get him to leave for him and then told him to come back? They told him to come back and get one.
Don't tell me they messing with Pat. No, don't tell me this. He got mad, Pat, and got crazy on somebody, and this would come down to.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
My goodness.
Pat.
Don't play with me.
Yeah, Pat. Pretty much. That's, yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
Pat.
My goodness. Oh, my, I can't even talk about that, man. Oh, my goodness, Mr. Top.
Yeah, those are the those.
Well, I would never tell anybody that, hold on, Mr. Talk. I got to put myself on me.
Okay. Well, I got somebody else up. Okay, hold on. Okay, hello. Let's see. 6567, welcome to the show. Who do I have on this line?
You have Shasta. Hey, Mr. Eric.
Well, hello, Shasta. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I haven't been listening to you for a long time, but probably for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And I thought it was really important that you were telling both sides of the spectrum from a civilian standpoint and from somebody who's been in the service. I think a lot of people don't understand the service standpoint if they've never been affiliated with the military, you know, or don't really know what goes on behind post walls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So me personally being a military dependent and my dad being a vet for over 18 years, I really feel like I have an opinion too. And I think it's sad that I know that they go through debriefings and they get debriefed, but I think maybe it's too fast. Like, maybe it should be a process that these men go through to be able to get back into the real world And like you said, some of these people lose people while they're gone, and then when you come back, it's like then it hits you. Because when you over there still at war, you don't have the time to grieve like you would. So now you just got to come back here and you know, I have buddies that are in the military. And, you know, with these guys just now coming back, they telling me, you know, I'm drinking. I'm at the pool hall. We getting drunk. Like, that's what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And these situations come about to where they get shocked. They'll go into a state of shock. It could be anything that they hear, something that they see. You know, me personally, I think they should all be assumed to have PTSD. They should all have to go through a process.
Well, you know what, and you have a very good point at that. The only problem with that is, you know, and this is where, how can I put it? This is where we as veterans and those families of veterans really need to kick in, or those who support veterans and the military should kick in and you know, express to Congress that, you know, we stop cutting the budget. You know what I mean? Because before they cut the budget, you know, doctors were scarce as it was. So now they cut the budget a little bit further, and now, you know, soldiers are paying, because like this young man said, he had a traumatic head injury. Well, maybe he did or maybe he didn't, okay? But he was still going through the process of being diagnosed. Well, you know, and that's another thing we have to look at. How long?
Was it happening fast enough?
Yeah, you know, how long had he been going through this process?
Right.
You know, now, as I said before, the media and the military want you to concentrate on he was taking Ambien. Okay? Well, those of us that have taken it, such as myself, no, you do not take Ambien during the daytime. Okay? You don't. So, you know, that didn't have anything to do with it. And I really do believe, and this is what I'm thinking, you know, more went on than what they're telling us right now. And
oh,
because,
hell yeah. You better
and because
believe
I
it.
Went, and because I went there and looked at the site, and I know how everything works, yes, it's more going on. You know, we have to take our time and slowly get into it and get in. You know, right now, as I said, everybody on post is under a gag order. You know, the media is limited to the front gate. But,
well,
you know,
I got a question.
But I can go everywhere I want to. So I'm going to find out, but go ahead.
I was talking to some, you know, soldier friends of mine, and we was just talking about the way that the media reported that he killed himself. That sounds fishy in itself, like y'all was just looking for a way to wrap up the story real quick.
Well,
I mean, none of it even makes any sense.
You know,
the lady
I'm glad.
Showed up, pointed her gun, and he was able to draw his gun and shoot itself. How are you going to be able to draw your gun and you mess with military? As soon as you would have touched anything but putting your hand down, you would have been blown away.
You know what? I'm glad. I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay. Because I brought it up earlier, but I didn't really want to go too much into it unless somebody brought it up. And you're absolutely right. Like I said, you know, he went into a building, fired some shots, shot some people, came out, got in his car, okay, got in his car, drove across the street, got out again, went into another building, shot some people, then came back out, and then all of a sudden he was confronted by an MP. So, now, the MP, they standing there, he raises his hand. Is that, now, this is what the story says. He raises his hand, right? So, now,
yep.
You know, after he raises his hand, he reaches down and pulls his weapon out again, okay?
And was able
so
to
now,
shoot himself.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. So, now, what I'm saying is, okay, so you're the military police, or any police, and this guy has reached down and pulled out a weapon. Okay. Now, you know, pulled out a weapon. And it's funny because they said,
man.
Then, but see, here's the key word and nobody really caught the key word. The key word said, then she engages the suspect. Now, most people think she just pulled out a weapon. And when police and military say they engage, that means they fired some rounds. So you cannot tell me that this man, this woman stood there and let him put a gun to his head and fire. Now, what I'm thinking is, basically, no. What I'm thinking is, she put some rounds in. Yeah, she put some rounds in. You know, and he was laying there wounded. And he was laying there wounded, and he probably put the gun to his head and fired, you know, and killed himself then. But initially, she put some rounds in him. Yeah, she put some rounds in him.
I mean, they couldn't even make me believe it to be any different. That's the military. If police officers in regular duty are trained to shoot if they feel like you got a weapon, all I got to do is have a nerve in my body that make me feel like you threatening. And I'm going to pull out and spray.
Well, see, here's the thing. No, crazy, autopsy hasn't been reported, and I can guarantee you won't hear nothing about an autopsy.
So
okay. But
that's the military. They ain't got to tell y'all nothing they don't want to tell you.
Hold on. Let me bring Mr. Lowe in. I ain't heard from him in a while. Let me bring him into the fray. Mr. Lowe, what's going on?
Hello, all.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. How's everybody doing?
All right. Now, let me bring you up to point. You know, because, you know.
I'm good.
You good? You know where the location at and everything, right?
Where?
Okay. You know where our old battalion building was?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's where 49th
right
is now.
Right,
yeah,
there by
that's
39,000.
Yeah. That's where 49th is. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you go right across the street, you know, straight across, that's where 1st Med Brigade is.
Right.
And that's where all this happened at.
Wow. That's at home.
And, well, there you go.
Man.
and that's what I'm explaining to them. I know this area, you know, I know. And from what the media is telling you, it's just not adding up. But go ahead and add what you got to say.
Okay. I don't know how everything happened or whatever the case may be, but I'm going on record right now to the caller that said, yeah, I'm just going to pull out and start spraying. You don't know what you're going to do. It all sounds good to be she dirty Harry or whoever you want to be right
I don't
then.
Think I was trying to be a she dirty Harry. I want to explain to you that I'm the child of a veteran. My dad's been in two wars.
I don't care nothing
so
about that.
So you're not just talking about just somebody. And hold up real quick, because you really got on the line like a madman. So I wasn't really just saying it like that. What I'm saying is, as an officer of the law, if you feel threatened while you in that uniform that somebody could be ending your life, you are taught to draw your weapon. And there are many officers that have gotten off on stuff just because I felt like he was reaching for a weapon. I thought he had a weapon. He flinched like he had one. You get almost taken for your life, and you're in a uniform, and tell me what won't you pull out your weapon and start shooting? I'm saying is in relation to the real story and really knowing what happened. Why? Because I live in Killeen, Texas. I'm not a caller from somewhere else. I'm calling from right here where it happened.
Were you there when it happened?
So I believe I wasn't there when it happened, but what I'm saying is, one, I'm a kid of a vet. Two, I know what it would be like to be in uniform. I have a friend right now that's a military police on Fort Hood, and I'm telling you, if you feel like somebody is about to threaten your life and you're in uniform, then you have all you can do that. You can pull, and I probably would have too. If I thought he was going to shoot me and the crew, we all going to shoot. Now, maybe you didn't like the way that I said it, but, you know, I know in what way I was using it.
Okay. Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm good. I made my point.
Because
you can go on top.
thank you. I mean, I was calm the entire time, so calm down and all that wasn't necessary. But anyway.
No, you sounded like a madman.
Well, that's to you.
Just a caller that said something about
praise. Hold on, Shasta.
Please, could I? Thank you.
Go ahead, Lo.
Okay. Let's just say for the sake of argument that my father is an axe murderer. I can't say, well, yeah, I know what it is to pull an axe out and chop somebody up because my father did it. I don't know anything about it because I wasn't there. It has nothing to do with me, per se. And for me to say, well, yeah, I know about it, and I, because I'm related, I'll get out of here with that. That's madness. So that
I don't even think that's what I'm saying. I think you just jumped on the line to talk and you were trying to make a point that doesn't exist.
Hold on, Shasta.
All right, hold on. Hold on, let me bring somebody else into the conversation. All right, let's see. We got Mr. JC in the house. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Let's talk.
Nothing. What's up with you?
Okay, I want to make a response to that young lady there, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, I want to get a chance to say what I need to say without interruption. Okay.
Okay.
We can all say what we would do and would not do. And as I said before, I spent 21 years in the military. I'm retired. Okay. When I first went to Iraq, I said, you know what, I'm going to be the bravest person in the world. Okay. When I went there, I was trained. All right. I was a ranger. Now, when I went there, you know what? Sure, I cried. I was scared out of my wits. You can never say what you're going to do until you get in that situation. But as far as saying, there's consequences for everything you do when you say that you're going to pull out a weapon and you're just going to take someone out. Police officers are trained to make a determination pretty fast, just like a soldier. So for someone that has not wore the boots of anybody in the military, regardless, my father was retired, okay? I have six brothers that went in with all military family. Until you wear those boots, you can never, ever say what you're going to do until you get there. So as far as what the young lady is saying, you know, that's just way out there. The gentleman came on there, he tried to let me finish, please. When the gentleman came on there, the only thing he was trying to do is make a point, which she did not give him a chance to make that point. And not being in the military, she can't say what she would have done, even though her father was in it. That does not make a difference. That's just like me saying, you know what, I'm going to put on some women's shoes just because I saw
okay.
some other women's
shoes. Are you done rambling?
First of all, listen here. If you were anywhere near your father was in the military, he would have taught you discipline. The first thing of discipline is to listen, not to jump on everybody just because they have a point of view.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay, so now let's bring her back in so she can rebut, say what she needs to say. All right, go ahead, Shasta. You up.
Okay, first off, it's interesting to me how you had absolutely no callers in the beginning. Like, nobody was calling in to say anything. So once I call in with an opinion, it's not really opinions that have anything to do with the actual event because people either haven't read on their own about the actual event or don't know what it is to live in the same city as the actual event happening and be related to the military in that sense. So I understand everybody's opinion about what they think I said, but what I'm saying is in relation to the actual event, as we are hearing that it happened as people who live here. So my opinion is based off of what happened, not just, oh, I would if I could. I'm saying as the lady who drew the weapon, and I was telling you earlier, Mr. Eric, I didn't believe what we were reading in the news about it, that the man was able to shoot himself at all. If you stand in front of the military and you look like you're about to pull out a weapon, they're going to shoot you, true or false. Well, that was my only, that was the only point I was making and what I said to begin with. I wasn't trying to pretend like I'd be shooting people because my daddy was military. I was trying to be in relation to exactly what that man and that woman at that single time, the thought that would be going through my mind as an officer of the military, the United States military. If this man looked like he's about to pull out a gun, how could he ever have shot himself like you reported? But yet I'm an officer, and I allowed that to happen before I was able to put any rounds in you. Because that's the way that the story is being read here. So unless you've read the story and know the situation and know where my opinion comes from, then of course I'm going to sound odd because you don't know what I'm talking about. You're not looking at the subject matter. So
I'm looking at the subject matter. Hold on. Let me finish.
All I was saying is I asked the question that I wanted to ask in the beginning to you, Mr. Eric, when we were both laughing about the fact that this story is false. Something's fishy about the military in this story because obviously it couldn't have happened the way that they're saying it happened. That's what we were saying. So for the man to have killed himself sounds fishy to anyone who knows anything about being even in the service, that they would have killed that man before he had a chance to kill himself. I said true or false, and Mr. Eric, you said true. I rest my case.
That's true. I agree. I do believe that MP put some rounds in him before he shot himself. I mean, I'm not going to back down from that. That's what I believe. Okay, hold on. Let me bring JC back in. Go ahead, JC.
Okay, as I said before, all right, it doesn't matter where you were, okay? I don't care what city you're in. Unless you were there and you eyeballed it yourself, it's the same thing, okay? You're going back, you know, okay, I was next door. I lived next door to the post. Oh, so therefore, that means that you know everything about what happened. That police officer could have been near a behind a car door or anything. Some people just don't want to go out and put rounds in someone when they don't know what may be the situation. If it was another soldier that I'm on post, and, you know, I mean, you have to think about that. You have to think about where that soldier had been. That's actually your brother at arms, your sister at arms. You don't just pull a round in another soldier like that's in the same uniform as you. You have to think, you know what, maybe this person is going through something. You're supposed to take care of your brothers. You're supposed to take that little initial, you know, wait to say, hey, you know, try to talk them down. You just don't go out there and bam, 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 put a bullet in someone. That is plain old nonsense. That's incompetent. Regardless, that's being an incompetent person, and no one does that. That has nothing to do with whether you're an officer or anything. Most officers, they're dumb as a cracker anyway. I never liked them.
Mr. Eric, can I ask you a question?
Okay, go ahead. Ask me a question.
After hearing everything that this man said, and I didn't interrupt him because I wanted to hear him, but after hearing everything he said, did that have any relation to what I was saying? To the point that I was making at all?
Hold on. You asked me a question now.
Go ahead.
All right. Actually, yes, it did. From what he's saying, and once I listened to what he was saying, I did actually, I could relate to what he was saying. Now, but, here's the thing about that, JC. Now, okay, I'm leaving to what you just, your theory, and that's a brother in arms, right? He's wearing the same uniform I am. Who says she didn't wound him then? She didn't shoot to kill. She wounded him. And he still had the ability to put the gun to his head and kill him because he didn't want to go to prison. Could that have been a possibility?
Yeah, and you're right on that. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. But what I'm saying, there's all sorts of circumstances. And what gets me is that, you know, just like people mistreat certain soldiers when we came back, as if we should not have done our job. And that's what ticks me off, because people that have never been over there, Mr. Talk, you know, they have not stayed in a desert. They have not trained in the jungle. They don't know any of that stuff, but they can stand back and they can look at the TV and they can have all sorts of point of views. and they will twist it around as if they are the smartest people in the world that have knowledge of everybody in the military, and they don't know nothing. But they swear out they do, and they will try to take you out that way. But I'm one of those soldiers, retired military, who refuse to let some petty-foot civilian sit down with anyone that's been inside the military. I'm not going to do that. And as far as that person is concerned, she don't even exist because she has never served. So she don't mean nothing to me unless she has served in the military. That's a nobody to me.
Okay. Mr. Eric, can I comment, please?
What happened? Was,
can I comment?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Chester.
Hey,
go ahead.
This don't have to be a back and forth. You ain't got to respond just because the man say something you don't like.
But it's a free show to where I can speak when I want to speak. So if I felt like I needed to say something, I'm able to.
All right, hold on. Wait a minute.
But y'all not controlling whether or not I speak, though. Just because there's a lot of men on here, ain't nobody controlling whether or not I open my mouth or I don't.
Who said anything about that?
Well, that's how I feel at this point. So I can speak if I want to.
All right. No, you can't because I said hold up. Wait a minute. All right. Now what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to let y'all calm down. I'm going to bring Beasley in, and then we'll come back to that. Go ahead, Mr. Beasley. You rocking and rolling. Go for it.
Yeah, I was just listening, like JC said, because I don't have a lick of military experience, and you guys do. But, I'm just tripping how the male-female dynamic is playing out.
What?
Go ahead.
You know what? Okay. Anyway. All right. Go ahead, Shasta. Make your point.
Okay. All I was saying is I'm not trying to say that I got such big pants because it's funny how a lot of the vets are attacking me saying, oh, you've never served. You've never been in the military. True. This is very, very true. But I don't want you to downplay people who are dependent on the military. My dad's been in two wars. So I had to live with one of the men who come back with things that they hear at night, or they can't sleep, or they treat their family some kind of way because they're going through something. So I may not have been in the military, but you can only imagine what it's like to be a dependent of someone who has, because you live the same shit they live. You really do. And you can only imagine some of the stuff my mom had to deal with. So what I was telling Mr. Eric was they should treat some of these soldiers better by, one, making sure things happen faster, and, two, if you have to treat them all like they have PTSD and put them all through counseling and proper debriefing before you enter them back into the world, then you do that, because that prevents situations like this where after it happens, now we want to think of everything we could have done to prevent it. So if they start taking more time with the troops, then we don't have these issues. I know my dad's a troop, and he has some of those same issues. He is retired military, no longer serving, has had back surgery, 6 screws and 2 titanium rods in his lower back. You ain't telling me nothing. I lived it.
Well, you know what, and you bring up some very valid points. Here's the problem. Here's the issue that we have going on. Okay, and this is something that no one is really going to bring up, especially not in the media right now. And that is, you know, before even any of this happened, or, you know, even 2009 when Hassan went mad, he was a psychiatrist himself, and there still wasn't enough doctors and therapists and what have you to treat every soldier that came back. Now, between 2009 and now, okay, there have been some improvements. The only problem is the turnover is so high because the military is cutting back. And see, this is the problem we're having with this administration and the sequester and Congress being assholes and all of this and the system together, because they are cutting funding to places like the VA. You know, you see what I'm saying? The military hospitals that can actually treat these soldiers. So you know, although we're saying, well, they're taking too long to treat these soldiers or they're not really treating them correctly, you have to really take a look at, you know, their hands are tied just as well. You know, now, if I'm going to sit back and I'm really going to look at this thing, right? Now, I'm going to go back to November. Now, those of us who have been in the military, we know you can authorize a soldier at least up to 5 days for to go home for a funeral. At least 5 days. You know, this soldier was from Puerto Rico. They gave him 24 hours. Okay? That's if he got a flight during that time. Number two, when he called for an extension, they gave him 2 days. Really? Now, you know, and then you go back, his grandfather passed, you know, within a month or so. Now, I'm saying how much time he got for that. So now we looking at, what, this April? And he's saying, look, you know, and he may have went to him and said, look, I need some time, you know, can I, you know, get a leave form to fill out? And those of us that have been in the military, we know sometimes S1 can kiss, you know, throw you off or blow you off like it's nothing new. You know, well, just come back tomorrow, man.
S1?
I have everything.
What's
S1? S1 are the people who, they're administrative, okay? They, you know, they do all your paperwork for, you know, your vacation and your pay and all that good stuff. Okay?
So I have a question.
Yes.
Somebody was an asshole, didn't give this private who...
No, he wasn't a private. He wasn't a private. He was a specialist.
Okay, well, whatever he was,
the army
base and the military was going to be able to survive without him for a little while.
Yes,
most
definitely.
Being an asshole, having no compassion at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And being an asshole,
what it was.
Could have pushed this dude over the edge.
Yeah, correct.
That's
it. Yes, go ahead with your question.
So, when y'all are coming back from overseas, is there not a way to push paperwork over here in the States for a leave before you even get here?
No. Now let me...
I mean, being
say,
that his family passed is
look,
what I'm looking
look,
at.
Look, I can only speak from the unit I was in, okay? I can only speak from that. Now, when we got ready to come back, you know, we went ahead and filled out all our paperwork before we left from Iraq or, you know, or Afghanistan,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So once we got back, and it sent it ahead, so once we got back, everything was processed, okay? Now when we come, when we start talking about death in the families, you know, then here's the key. A lot of times that comes through the Red Cross, okay? Now, and I got to put it out there. Now, it depends on how that doctor or the family, whoever contacted the Red Cross, has worded the message. Depends on whether that soldier, the command is really going to let that soldier leave or not. See, that's another thing we don't have information on. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to really take a look at the whole picture. See, because the mainstream media only wants you to look at this one, you know, little tiny room ball of things. But you have to really go back and look at the whole picture when it comes to this soldier.
I think you got to look at the whole picture because it helps with prevention of things like this from happening.
Well, see, here's the thing about that, Shasta, and I think I said this at the beginning of the show. You can't keep things like this from happening. I don't care. If you check every car coming through Fort Hood or any other post on Fort Hood, you cannot prevent things like this from happening. You can't.
Okay, well, maybe let me be more specific, okay, because, like I said, I have friends that live on post, and one is a sergeant. He got his own soldiers. And he was telling me yesterday that they was doing extra checks and they had to stay later. And basically they had to check everything to make sure, one, people didn't have unregistered weapons in their possession because that was made a big deal. Everybody was saying it's supposed to be in the armory, you know, all these weapons supposed to be in here that aren't registered. And now it's a big deal. Now we want to go through and see who got unregistered weapons.
Okay.
Where it should have been a regular check for something like this on the normal. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, whether that be once a month or...
Let me stop you right there.
There's 300 million guns in America.
See, when something happens like this, yeah, everybody want to make to see if a soldier has his own personal weapons. Is it registered on post? Is it in your unit's armor?
Yeah, that's what they're checking for.
Is it in your room, in your unit's, what I'm talking about, arms room? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something.
That's what he said.
I can tell you, no, I don't have a weapon. And that's it. And why? Because if I don't have it on me right now, you can't prove that I do have one. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's many, mm-hmm. and I told somebody this yesterday, it's so many soldiers riding around now, okay, with mm-hmm. weapons out the yazoo. And they're not, none of them are registered. And their chain of command doesn't know, and their chain of command won't know unless something happens and they get caught with it. You know, back in the day, you know, your leaders, NCOs, you know, had to go by your house at least once a month to check and see how you was living.
Yep.
See, now that you know, very rarely is that happening now. Yeah, very rarely is that happening now. You know, it's a different army. Yes.
Mr. Talk.
Yes.
You know what? When I initially went in, okay,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very easy to get your hands on weapons, okay? When I went in, I believe the second year after, I was buying up weapons left and right, me and other people were.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I didn't get to the point to where any of them was unregistered, but about, I think, the third or fourth year in Fort Benning, there was a soldier, and he was actually a skinhead. He had a
mm-hmm.
public storage where he had took weapons out of the bunker and took ammunition. They found it in his public storage. So that's been going on for a long time. Soldiers
right.
have been killing other soldiers sometimes on across overseas, you know,
mm-hmm.
since the beginning of time. This is nothing new. So for people to think that all of a sudden, you know, because these soldiers have went to war, you know, they're coming back killing people. You know, you had soldiers in the Korean War, Vietnam War, even before the war. You have to look at it. It's not just soldiers. People are killing people before wars even began. So that's nothing new. It just so happens that they're in a different environment. You know, the military has nothing to do with that.
They're different.
Right.
What about them being trained killers?
What about them being trained killers?
That just seems
Wait a minute. It's like this, Beasley. I see what you're... Beasley, we are trained, and I'm going to tell you how we are trained. We are trained to defend ourselves. We are not trained to go on the offensive. I'm going to be honest with you. That the military is not trained like that. Okay, before we engage anyone, we have to be given the order that it's okay to engage. Am I lying, JC?
No, you're not. You're on the spot with that,
on all levels, Navy SEALs and Green Berets and
yes.
Army Rangers and Special
yes.
Forces. They
yes.
don't teach people to sneak behind you and cut your throat like G.I. Joe
and stab you in the back and do anything else you got to do to survive. Listen, Beasley, they have to be given an order to do that. If no order is given for them to do that, they can't do anything. They can sneak up behind you and observe you. But until that order says, yes, take that so-and-so out, they cannot do anything.
We do not go around, you know, just walking up. When we get trained, Beasley, it's not to go out there and do anyone harm, sir. It's to go
right.
out there and make sure no one does any harm.
I find
to any...
that I don't know how you guys have been trained, so
I don't have a clue
of none of that besides watching Full Metal Jacket and a couple of movies
hearing
some stories. So I don't know jack about that, but
right.
it is. But I just find it hard
to
believe that they don't train people in the military to be killers.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that's what I was
Maybe
trying
not
to.
Not all, but some.
That's what I'm trying to explain. See, this is what it is at Beasley is no matter what MOS you go into in the military, they train you In other words, how to protect yourself. To protect yourself from the enemy killing you, you have to kill the enemy before they kill you, whether you be a cook. You train how to use that weapon. You train in hand-to-hand combat. It may be the basics, but when you get up into the Armored Rangers, Navy SEALs, Special Forces, Marine Corps Recon, and Marines themselves, you have to go a little bit further because you're placed in a more dangerous situation in different areas around the world. So, therefore, okay, you may say that the military are trained killers. Okay, we're not trained to kill anyone, but in order to survive, we have to kill someone. So it's not necessarily a trained killer.
I'm not making a moral judgment on it. I understand what the military does. The military does a lot of things. And war and killing is part of what the military does.
All right,
I'm not making a moral judgment on it. I'm just saying I find it hard to believe that people in the military aren't trained to kill. That's all I'm saying.
But
okay,
we are.
Hold on.
And you're saying that there's parameters and they don't teach everybody and there's some rules and some regulations. And I understand that too.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Let me bring Lady T in. I think she has something she wants to add. Okay, let's see. Lady T, welcome to the show.
Hi. First off, for Shasta, I understand what you're saying because I have been on both sides, too. I am prior service, and I was a dependent, so I did get to see both sides of it. And, yeah, I went through the PTSD process and all that, and I've had doctors say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just going through whatever. You'll be fine and stuff. And as far as being trained killers, you know, we're not trained to kill. We are trained to protect ourselves. Yes, we are, and to protect our unit, our fellow soldiers. We are trained to do that. I was a medic in the Army, so, of course, you know, I wasn't trained to kill, I was trained to heal and stuff. So, no, we're not trained to kill. We are trained to protect ourselves and to protect our fellow soldiers. So, yeah, it seems a little crazy to me listening to what happened on Fort Hood. Unfortunately, I did not get caught up. I had already left work before it all got started. But listening, yeah, and that is kind of crazy in that they did not give him the time to grieve. He should have been given the time to grieve, and he wasn't. So, you know, yeah, you don't know when somebody's going to snap. You don't know what's going to happen. But it does sound kind of shady, too, in that if that MP engaged him, what was the engagement? Was she talking to him? What was she trying to do when she encountered him? Did she talk to him first, or did she pull her weapon on him first? You know, what did you do? If he didn't have his weapon out, you know, did she talk to him? Did she try to calm him down first or whatever else? Did he make any kind of attempt to maybe shoot at her or something or whatever? But from what I heard, she did shoot him. She shot him. So, you know, when are we going to get the whole story as to exactly what happened? You know, what was that all about? What was that engagement all about? You know, so that's what I'm saying. I'm listening and I understand everybody's point, but no, for those who think we're trained killers, no, we're not trained killers. We don't do that. And yes, yes, I do understand what you're saying, because yeah, it is hard to be on both sides. With me having been on both sides, having been active duty and being a dependent, having to see it, you know, to live it and then to see it in somebody else. It's very hard to deal with. And to me, I feel like, yes, they should make everybody go through counseling. And it shouldn't be just, no, come in there and because you answer a few questions a certain way that, oh, you're okay. No, it shouldn't be that way. It should be that you should have to go through counseling and not just for no month or 2 months, for maybe 6 months to a year. They should go through counseling. They should go through because, yeah, you're going to have the one who's going to say, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Ain't nothing wrong. I'm good. But then over time, those little things start coming out. You start having the hypervigilance with any little sound and you're jumping. You know, any little thing and you're jumping. You're going to have the insomnia where you're not sleeping at night. you know, you're up all times of the night. You know, I used to be in a class, basically a skills class, and we had a guy who, he would go into stealth mode. He'd go lay out in his yard and camouflage himself in his yard because he was still so messed up in the head. So, you know, I think they need to go through counseling. We should have gone through counseling and go through counseling for a longer period of time than what they do. That, to me, is just, and I'm scared, and I don't like being, I would think that I'm supposed to feel safe being on post, but now I'm scared to be on post because now it can happen anywhere. It can truly happen anywhere.
All right. Anybody all right. Still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yep, I'm still here.
All right. So what you have to say? Thank you, Lady T, for that. And you have made some very valid points. Very valid points. You know, I can
somebody
agree with
you.
Somebody
got you on speakerphone.
I know. All right.
I
so,
agree
anyway.
With that lady T. I agree with her.
Uh-huh. You agree with her?
Yes, yeah, she made complete sense. I mean, she saw it from both sides, and it wasn't a one-way trip, you know, with one no way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, that's interesting, man. I'm telling you. Whew. You know, and you know, of
well,
course,
I just
you know,
appreciated that she acknowledged me. You know what I'm saying? That acknowledgement, I can dig it. You know what I mean?
Whatever.
She can dig it, being a dependent. For real, I think a lot of times military families get overlooked. People forget that these people got families they're attached to. You just
right.
see this stuff as entertainment. Some of us are attached to these people. It ain't entertainment for these people's lives. Then
hey,
people
can,
on post, they still dealing with that.
What are you saying? That everybody, that every man that's head of a family has been in the military has some serious issues, and those issues get passed on to the family?
You know what?
That's kind of what you're saying.
I won't necessarily. Well, and you bring up a valid point that I didn't even really just think about. But sometimes the kids are younger than me. See, me personally, I'm 29 now, and I might have been like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 when my dad joined the service. But can you think about younger kids who get raised up in that younger than me? So it sometimes it is violence that comes from these soldiers. Sometimes it is, and it could be anything, depending on whatever they're going through. And it probably could get passed to the family. I wasn't even saying that, and I hadn't even thought about it. But,
I had a violent-ass dictator military stepfather who was never in the military. He's college-educated.
I mean, we're talking about one person. That doesn't mean everybody is like
right.
that. Just like when people talk, it's just like y'all were telling me. There's multiple ways to look at what I was looking at, and it's true. There's different scenarios. So just because it didn't happen for that person, don't mean it's not possible.
And I know people with military families that you know where the kids made their bed every day when they got up. And they did have some far stricter discipline order than for another household. So maybe there's something
I
to
mean,
it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm not saying that's impossible. I'm just saying that there's different ways to look at that, and there will be stuff in the military. To me, the military is a whole other type of lifestyle. Like, you'll have to have either been a part of it or served to even know what kind of lifestyle that is. You can just hear about it and, you know, watch Army Wives on TV and think that that's the military life.
Okay. All right. But, you know, I will keep on top of this thing, you know, because it's more to it and, you know, I have kind of a I can get on and get off without anybody noticing me. So we're going to stay on top of this thing and see what's really going on. Because by next week, it's going to it's going to, you know, go away a little bit.
Right. By next week, there'll be another mass shooting or some other big story somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
it
usually disappears, you know. I mean, soldiers go back to what they usually do every day. It's just like a normal job, you know. And I want to say to Ms. Shaster there that, you know, I was not discounting what she was saying, you know, by hearing what she did say, though, what I will agree with her on there, that the other part of the families that do not have a direct combat experience, you know, they suffer maybe a different way, you know. So I wasn't discounting what you were saying, Shaster. It was just that, you know, I understand what you're saying. You was affected probably in a different way, and other families are affected in a different way from someone who have been in combat. That's all I was saying. But, you know, I don't discount anything you're saying, man.
Okay, we lost our call, so hopefully she'll call back in.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully she'll call back in. But, yeah, you know, I'm just giving y'all the views from my point of view. And because, like I said, you know, I stayed on Fort Hood. I know where that is because that was my everyday route, and I had to go into both of those buildings. So, you know, sometimes you just have to, sometimes it helps to have someone that can actually make it, I guess you say, more relatable, you know, more relatable than more relatable. To get you to understand a little bit better, you know what I mean? and like I said, I'm gonna keep going. Like I said, right now, you know, I actually went up there and I talked to some of the press up there, you know, and they really have no idea what's going on. They don't, you know, they haven't been allowed to go and look at the scene or anything. Like I said, I've been all up in the scene. I better stop before they cut me off. But you know, so. You know, and that's how I can give you a personal view of what it looks like. That's all. But anyway, so that's what's going on with that. And like I said, you know, they had a fake IED scenario in Fort Hood, in Killeen yesterday, which is the city right outside of Fort Hood, you know, and somebody set up a little thing on the back of a truck that looked like an IED, but luckily, you know, there was nothing really, you know, real about it, so, but, you know, they used all the, the resources to work with it, so.
You better believe this dude that went off isn't the only one that's on edge on this Army base.
Well, no, Beasley. I mean, you can't say that. No, we're not going to say that. You know, because, yeah, everybody's on edge, heck. You know, but, you know, some, you know, and that goes back to how you deal with things. Some individuals just deal with pressure a lot. Now, see, here's the thing, though. Not only did he have, you know, the pressure of he thinking he had mental illness going on, but he was still grieving. See, and that's what people
are. He had legitimate pressure.
Yeah, he was grieving still also. You know, and you put that on top of, you know, just deploying or what have you, and yeah, you know, moving. Well, apparently he had just moved into the area, huh?
And put on top of it a bureaucratic, unempathetic, unsympathetic system that just doesn't give a shit that your grandfather and your mother just died within a couple of months of each other and you're trying to get it together. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But see, I don't know. Sometimes you have to look at it.
Did he shoot the people that told him no?
Did
he shoot the people that told him no?
Well, I don't know who. I mean, he shot a counselor that was trying to calm him down. We know that much.
Sometimes it's better just to stay out of things, huh?
You know, and you know what? I'm not going to lie. Because I always say, if something was to happen like that around me, you know, I'm not going to run. I'm not. I'm going to say you straight up. I'm not running.
Yeah, I can tell
I'm
you.
I'm often, no matter where I am, I'm often thinking of what if this happens, what if that happens. I'm always looking for, you know, weapons and things to use, exits to use, just in case. Just in case.
I'm from Los Angeles. I was born and raised to think like that automatically. That's a war zone. I grew up in a war zone. I've always felt that something could pop off at any moment and have my head on swivel. But as far as me trying to be a superhero or to solve a problem, that's
you
somebody
know,
else's job.
But see, to me, that's not trying to be a superhero. That's doing what I was trained to do.
Right.
See, and see, that's the thing. I'm not trained to run. That's not what I'm trained to do.
I got you. See, I'm trained to be the show. And you know what? And know what they say about the show?
What?
The show must go on. And I'm going to go on away from the crazy shooter and from the conflict.
Well,
I might want to get a quick bird's eye view and watch it, but we're all trained differently.
Yeah, well, see, that's why they have individuals like me that's trained to handle it. Because I'm going to go at them, I'm telling you, because I can't see just running and hiding. That would make me feel just raggedy. It really was. It really would, you know, especially if I'm somewhere where I have a lot of stuff at my disposal. Oh, it's me and him going to go to war. We going to actually go to war right there. Because I figure if I can throw enough chairs at him to keep him distracted, I could take his ass down. Excuse my language, but that's where I feel.
While he's busting shots at you?
Yeah.
You going to throw chairs at him?
That's right.
Now, if I got a clear shot from behind and I can take him down like Lawrence Taylor, I might get to be a superhero that day.
See, there you go, talking about taking somebody down from behind. Really?
Definitely. Well, that's the only way I'm taking a shot.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I'm really not updated on the whole story. It seems like it's a lot. You was updating me when I last talked to you. As far as this train killer thing, I mean, someone breaks in my house, I mean, I'd kill him. No one then had to train me to do it. You know, sometimes, you know, we are military. You train to defend yourself, but a defensive move can look like an offensive move. And vice versa. I mean, it's common sense what the military is all about. But I just want to say this. He has no right. A suicidal mind is one of the dangerous minds. Someone not handling their emotions no matter what they're going through. And notice what you said, Mr. Talk. If someone puts us in the corner, if someone tries to kill us or, you know, things, of course, naturally, we're going to self-preservate ourselves and defend ourselves. But taking your emotions out, I don't know the whole situation, but going on a rampage, killing people, despite your emotions, it's an unfortunate thing. It's, you know, and that's something that we need to deal with, you know. It's crazy.
If you're in a...
I haven't heard the full story, though, so I'm not going to comment too much.
If you're in a public place and someone just breaks out with a gun and starts shooting all over the place, unless I have a gun, I'm getting out of the way.
Well, see, see, Beasley, and how
right,
can I put it?
Right, but in Florida,
Beasley,
you can do that, though. But see, in Florida, you got to realize in Florida, you got to have a concealed weapon. If you walk into a Target and someone tries to rob the Target, you can shoot and kill them. I mean, that's in the state of Florida.
Look, see,
so, I mean,
and that's what, listen,
where
that's where everybody is, you know, I guess I'm thinking differently. Maybe it's my training.
Everywhere.
But here's my thing. If I'm in a restaurant and somebody just break up, well, number one, I'm going to notice something ain't right with them anyway. So, you know, as I say, anytime I go anywhere where there's a lot of people, I'm always looking for, number one, where all the exits at, okay, exits of interest, you know, what do I have around me to defend myself, okay, and where could I be attacked from? Now, once I have figured out all out, now I'm looking for every weapon I can think to use to defend myself or to distract the shooter or whatever from harming as many people as I can till I can get to them. That's the way I'm doing. You know, and Beasley, that I guess that's my training compared to you just being a, you know, a regular Joe.
Oh, hold
you know,
on a
you,
second.
You're not thinking like that.
No, 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 no.
Oh, wow.
I'm definitely thinking like that. I'm thinking that anything can happen at any time, and I need to know where the exits are. But my, if somebody has a gun, and they start shooting again, I'm going to get out of the way of the bullets. I'm not going to try to subdue that person. That's not my job. I'm not trained to do that.
Beasley, do you know most people are shot when they're running away than coming toward it?
And I don't know. Well, I'm I take that shot in the ass then. Instead of that one to the forehead.
Okay.
That one or that shot to the chest.
And who knows? Me distracting them may help you get away. See?
Man, so you never know. You know, it's a split-second decision. And no matter how we're trained and what we're saying we're doing now, you might run and I might end up going tackling the dude or doing the karate flip on him.
Let me tell you something. I've done it before. I've already done it, Beasley. So, no, I'm not. I know what I do.
I've already run from when bullets started flying, too, so I already know what I'm going to do.
Ain't
no shame in my game. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I'm skirting out.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, y'all, we got 2 minutes left in the show, so if you want to continue here live, give us a call, 347-838-8622. Because that, in about a minute and 58 seconds, it's going to go dead. And but we're going
to
be here.
Like you in the Civil War if you want to.
You know what? It's not. You know what, though? It's not about being in the Civil War. It's all about me doing what I'm trained to do. And that's just simple. You know,
so
if
you had to take a couple of slugs.
Yeah, I take it.
So that others could get away.
Yeah.
You would feel like you did the right thing.
Yeah. I would not have a problem with that. Not at all. You know, and the thing about it, any retiree will tell you, once a soldier, always a soldier. You know, you're not gonna run. Hell, why?
Because you don't have a gun and the guy's got a gun.
Okay, so what?
He's shooting.
Okay, and your point?
The bullets are nameless.
That's right.
They're to be avoided at all costs.
That's right.
They're deadly and painful.
Okay.
I heard they burn like fire.
Yes, they do, but what about it?
Not trying to experience that.
Okay, well, okay, you don't have to. That's why there's people out there like me to help people like you get away and talk about it later on Blog Talk. Oh, Lord have mercy. I can't resist that one. But, yeah.
This is as good a place as me.
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right.
Get more people to hear you.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, that's where we're gonna go. That's what's going on. I'm gonna keep on top of this, and who knows? Maybe by Monday I have some pictures to put on the show or the web page. If I was thinking earlier today, I would have took my camera with me and got some. Okay. Let's see now. What's up with Russia telling the U.S. to chill out, try some yoga? Really? What's really about that? What's going on about that? Huh? Y'all heard about that? The Russian, I think, foreign minister or somebody said that. He told the United States, you know, y'all need to chill out and leave us alone about Crimea and let it go on and go through. Just chill out and go ahead and, you know, practice some yoga. Are we at that point now to where we can let Russia tell us anything, say crazy stuff to us without doing anything about it?
What
go ahead, Beasley.
What are you supposed to do if someone tells you to chill out and have some yoga and do some yoga? When
I,
For the past 20 years, easily, 23, 24 years, and even longer, your country has done everything to meddle, send troops, destabilize, and control areas not too far from there, the entire Middle East. When your country's been involved in destabilizing, influencing, doing everything that they can to have influence and army bases and strategic in everything all over the world, but particularly in Afghanistan and Iraq and everywhere else there in the Middle East. Absolutely right.
Yes, you did. And so, you know, just went and got this country.
How are you going to condemn a country for doing something like that when your history is what it is? if you're going to take a moral high ground on anything, it's probably best that you're not involved in the same type of practice. If I'm going to call you out for drinking and being a drunk or doing drugs, it would probably carry more weight if I didn't do drugs and drink myself or anything else. If I'm going to say, you know, how dare you fornicate and cheat on your wife? When I've been fornicating and cheating on my wife for years, it just makes your words pretty shallow and empty, and I think that's what the guy's telling them.
That's what the guy's telling them? Okay.
Well,
you know, but here's another thing also. You know, many feel that, you know, Russia is really not the power, the superpower they used to be. You know, and basically, you know, they just, how can you put it, posturing for the most part. What you think about that?
He's made a move.
He's made a move.
The guy probably wants to build up the Soviet Union to what it once was. He probably sees an opportune time.
I think he's building it up because he sees how the United States is. That's what they're doing. As it's like, wait a minute, the United States, one big country. You know, we're broken down into little bits and pieces here and there. You know,
the United States is war weary for having 12 years of nonstop engagement with a limited force. You know, how many times you've been back and forth, Mr. Talk? 13 times? That's absurd.
16.
That's crazy. They've stressed out the military to like it's never been stressed out. They've never had an engagement. The longest war in U.S. history, okay, continuous conflict in U.S. history, and it was done without a draft, with a small force. They're aware of that. And there's financial concerns. Man, they can have Crimea.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is run by civilians because a lot of these companies out here, they have a lot of front companies out here, but at the same time, they're out there, they're making weapons and stuff, a lot of these so-called good companies. As far as I'm concerned, Kellogg's Corn Flakes might be out there, have some weapons manufacturing company somewhere overseas. You know, you never can tell these days. Just like the Boeing, the company Boeing. All these Big Brother cameras you see out here in the cities and all, Boeing own all those cameras. And what happens with them, you know, it's basically run by civilians, just like war. They need war in order to go around. You know, that's what protects a lot of these civilian corporations is the military. And we're just basically there to protect their interests all around the world. If you really
that's the military industrial complex. That's what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
And because at first it was, like I say, it was to protect your country. But then once these slimy politicians and everybody else start getting in these seats, just like these millionaires and stuff, all of a sudden all these millionaires with 65 million, 100, 300 million, they want to run for Congress, senator. They're not thinking about the people. The only reason they're getting in there is just for their selfish reasons. That's all.
And their own narcissism.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. I think, last week or early this week, I said about a couple of a few of the congressmen that has, companies invested in companies in Russia, that's making big dollars, big dollars off stuff in Russia. And that's why I was saying, you ain't going to hear about that. That's why certain sanctions are going to be levied and certain sanctions not going to be levied, it's a game.
Well, Mr. Salt, Peasley, everyone else, it's been fun. I'm getting ready to go and get me some wine and enjoy my weekend, guys.
All right. Well,
it's
you know what?
It's a messed up game.
What?
It's a messed up game. It's a messed up game if some people can play it and benefit millions and other people have to ask for permission to go spend a little time with their family after their mother and grandparents die.
Well, yeah, but you know what? In the big picture, though, when you raise your right hand and say, "I defend
right,
the Constitution against foreign and domestic," hey, that's what you get. Yeah, that's what you get. Some people can handle it, some can't. And I'm sure there was a lot much more to it that hasn't come out yet and may not come out. But then again, depends on who you know. You may find out a lot more that nobody else is telling you. So we'll have to wait and see. That we will. We have to wait and see.
Is there any connection between this one and Hassan?
No. No connection whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Just happened in the same place.
Yeah. Just happened in the same place. That's basically all it is. That was all
lightning,
it is.
Lightning striking twice in the same place.
Hey, well, and here's the thing, it's happening all over military posts. Some of them get publicized and some of them don't.
It happens all over society.
Yeah.
As far as someone just flipping out and start shooting shit up.
Yeah, but when you take in, you take the largest military post in the United States land-wise and shut it down, then, everybody going to jump on it. You know what I mean? So
acres and acres of trained killers.
Yeah, pretty much, for the most part.
Completely stressed out.
Yeah, some of them are anyway. Yeah. All right, I'm going to get up out of here, man. So let's see. Go ahead and get your last words in, Beasley.
I'm done. Have a good weekend.
You done? All right, you have a good weekend, too, and I'll see you Monday.
All right,
Michael, where you at? Michael, going once. Michael, going twice. All right, we out of here with Michael. All right, y'all, another good show. And as I say, man, I'm telling you, my condolences to the families, and I hope everything turns out all right. From the signs of they will. And I'm going to keep on top of this, and hopefully I can bring y'all some more stuff that the media won't tell you. But anyway, and get some pictures sometime this weekend. All right, y'all, so it's been fun. Hope everybody have a wonderful weekend, and enjoy yourself, enjoy your family. If you got nice weather, get out there, enjoy it, and stay safe. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart, but first make sure you're forgiving yourself before you can forgive anyone else. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, man, ain't too much going to bother you. That's for dang on sure. All right? So, with that being said, I want to thank everybody for showing up at the show today. I appreciate you and glad you can make it. All right? So, Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Woo! This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And y'all have a great weekend. We going out of here with those boys around here. And I'll talk to y'all Monday. Peace.
the boys round here don't listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Seifers threw a jukebox needle at the honky-tonk where their boots stomp all night. What?
That's right.
Yeah, and what they call work a digging in the dirt. Gotta get it in the ground before the rain come down to get paid to get the girl in your four-wheel drive. Yeah, the boys round here drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no shit. Shoot a back, a shoot a back, a shoot a back, a spit. Oh, heck. Well, the boys around here, they're keeping it country. Ain't a damn one know how to do the Dougie. No, I'm not in Kentucky, but these girls around here, yep, they still love me. Yeah, the girls around here, they all deserve a whistle. Shaking that sugar sweet as Dixie Crystal. They like that yawling southern drawl and just can't help it cause they just keep falling for the boys. Back and shoot him back and shoot him back and shoot him back.